Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams, where the air is pure ethereal, laden with the breath of flowers. They are blooming by the fountain, neath the amaranthine bowers. I can see far down the mountain where I've wandered weary years, often hindered on my journey by the ghosts of doubt and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way. But is always bright. I am drinking from the fountain where I ever would abide, for I've tasted life's pure river, and my it's satisfied. Well, there's no thirsting for life's pleasures, or a dawning rich and gay. For I've trod the way before thee, and the glory
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
As we continue my sermon series titled Faith Living, Faith Giving, I have answered the question the last few Sundays, what is faith living? What is the difference between living by faith and our initial faith in the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." We find that in John 8:31. That is living by faith. Let me say that again. That is living by faith. Continuance is a key component to faith living. Paul lays out many spiritual blessings for the saints in Colossians chapter 1, but in verse 23 he emphasizes that these blessings are contingent upon continuance in the faith. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which ye was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. We find that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. Again, what is faith? The book of Hebrews conveys that definition to us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We also learn from the book of Corinthians, where Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. The saints, therefore, are to trust in the word of God from cover to cover. They are to trust in all the truth it conveys. Trust in its prophecies, trust in its miracles, its doctrines, its hopes, and trust in the creation account. The saints must trust that God will guide their footsteps in this life by the power of the Holy Spirit, even if it is into the fires of adversity with the wicked principalities and rulers of darkness of this world. The New Testament authors give us an important clue about how to live by faith as strangers in the world today. They keep pointing us to the Israelites' poor example of living by faith in the wilderness under Moses after they were miraculously delivered out of the land of Egypt by the Lord. The Holy Spirit is telling New Testament believers not to fall into the same example of unbelief as the Israelites. The Israelites' unbelief started after they initially believed Moses by putting the blood of the unblemished lamb upon the doorposts of their houses. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as Paul is writing to the Gentile church in Corinth, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. This stern warning that takes us back to the Old Testament is repeated several times in the New Testament for our admonition. It was an Old Testament sign of what we New Testament saints should not do. Almost the entire adult generation of Israel failed to enter the Promised Land because of their constant murmuring, fornication, idolatry, and tempting the Lord. They were delivered out of Egypt. However, they failed to enter Canaan land except for Caleb and Joshua. The Old Testament Canaan land, or land of promise, which was Israel, made to Abraham is symbolic of the New Testament millennial kingdom of God, the 1,000-year kingdom that Christ will establish when he returns to this earth. Remember what the Lord's Prayer says, thy kingdom come. The honor to rule and reign with Christ in his earthly kingdom is a privilege to those only who live faithfully after they initially and spiritually put the blood of the unblemished Lamb of God upon the doorposts of their heart. Eternal life on the new earth in a new created heaven, which we see in the book of Revelation chapter 21, is a gift received by the believer's initial faith in the work of Christ on Calvary. However, the millennial kingdom, which is the seventh dispensation still to come, is a reward or prize based upon our faith living as pilgrims in this current dispensation upon this current earth. The Israelites failed in continuing to live by faith after they initially believed Moses concerning the Passover and being eyewitnesses to the amazing miracles of God and his utter destruction of Pharaoh and the Egyptian Empire. Faith giving is a continuation of faith living. Just as Abraham gave tithe of all to Melchizedek, king of Salem, as I taught last week, so are New Testament believers commanded as spiritual children of Abraham to tithe to Christ, and that is through his body, which is the church. Let me make this vitally important point. There is no such thing as a universal church. The Catholic Church is not the universal Church of Christ. The Church of Christ, spiritually, not the institution or denomination, are infinitely many autonomous units throughout the world. Giving to the true work of Christ is extremely important and an example of living by faith. Believers should vow to give, similar to Jacob's vow. Remember, Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." The tithe is the tenth part of one's income or substance. Tithing in the New Testament is just as important and relevant as tithing in the Old Testament. The law of Moses declares, "Notwithstanding no devoted thing, that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd and of the flock, and even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." Again, the children of God of this dispensation should give tithe to the Lord through his church. "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," the rock is the Lord Jesus Christ, not Peter, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The keys of the kingdom and the keys of earthly blessings can be found in tithing. Notice what God says to Israel through his prophet Malachi. "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. The child of God robs God when he or she does not tithe to the Lord's church. And when the saints tithe, God further assures the obedient saints of his protection, as we see in Malachi 3:11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Who is the devourer? We learn who that is from 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The Lord rebukes Satan on the believer's behalf if they tithe to the true New Testament church. The Lord assures us of that in the book of Malachi. More keys of the kingdom of God. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. So what a believer gives, it will be returned to them in the same measure of generosity as it was given. The Levitical priests thrived on the tithe of all the other tribes of Israel who inherited the land of Canaan. The priests served the people on behalf of the Lord in the service of the temple. The tithes of the children of Israel, we find in the book of Numbers, it says, the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offered as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. The Levitical priests were themselves to tithe upon the tithes that they received. In the New Testament, the pastor of the church is to thrive on the tithe of the saints. It is the responsibility of the congregation to support their church and pastor. The Apostle Paul tells believers the importance of supporting their local, visible, autonomous New Testament church. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the oxen that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. The Apostle Paul advises the Corinthian church of the importance of tithe to give financially to the Lord's church to support those ministers in the word of God. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the oxen that treadeth out the corn. The Apostle Paul is quoting from Deuteronomy 25, verse 4. Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of oxen, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they that wait at the altar are partakers with that altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Jesus emphasized three times to Peter the importance of feeding his flock. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. As the Lord exhorted Peter, Peter later in life exhorts all pastors to do the same. Peter wrote, The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither by being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the elders of the church in Ephesus, said, Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The tithe is used to support those ministers that feed the church of God. How one gives will result in how one receives in their life. Give with a cheerful heart. Paul said, He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, which means he which gives sparingly shall receive also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Tithing is an exercise of faith and laying up treasure in heaven. Paul praises the Philippian church for giving towards his needs and explains how they will be rewarded by God for their generosity. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, and having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 12:31-34, But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let me also emphasize that only the church is the body of Christ, not some incorporated, not-for-profit entity like a Christian college or a 501c3 Christian charity. Christ established the church and only the church. The New Testament church is the only institution believers should be tithing to. God works through the church, not some state-incorporated institution. That is vitally important to us to know. You may not like hearing this, but if you have an EIN number, you are a state-sanctioned corporation, not a church. Jesus Christ is not going to share his glory with the secular state. By tithing to a not-for-profit corporation, you are not laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You have your temporal reward through your tax-deductible gift. If you are being fed spiritually in the Word of God by your pastor, you need to give your tithe to the Lord's church and its pastor. The minimal cap is 10%. Give above 10% and watch the Lord reward you abundantly, not only in this life, but in the life to come, which is His coming kingdom. And hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.